One of my favorite passages, to whom much is given, much is required. And God has given me a lot. There comes a lot of responsibility, and I'm okay with that because if I don't do it, he can find somebody else. I'm replaceable. He's not.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, the show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I am your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the Kilton O. McCracken Sr. I think you win the award for longest name. So that's cool. Gold star for you. Yeah. He is the founding and lead pastor of One Nation Church. He really does have an amazing story of God's faithfulness and likes to say that when God calls us into the unknown, it can be scary, especially when you're leading a family, amen, who is depending on you for the very essential things of life. But God is faithful and can be depended on when he calls you to himself. Not only has he ventured out into being a founding and lead pastor, but he also started his own real estate business or practice. He's also built an amazing community at his last job with the Mentoring Alliance. So he's just a talented guy who loves God and loves people. Welcome to the show, Kilton.
Thank you, Kenny. I'm super excited to be on. Never thought I would be doing a podcast with you, but I'm super excited about it and looking forward to the conversation and looking forward to growing it with you and growing on this podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah. I never would have thought that this was going to happen back when we met. I was trying to migrate y'all's crazy data.
Yeah, man.
And because all your people chose to type in things every different way that was humanly imaginable.
Yeah. I remember that. It was, our CRM was a mess at Mentoring Alliance. So you came to our rescue. So
it's all organized now.
Yeah.
So, but I got a few of these gray hairs over here, I think came from that yeah. project.
Yeah. Definitely.
Well, I'm excited to have you, and I am interested in knowing what is on your mind.
So currently what's on my mind right now is I'm ready to take vacation with my family to just get away and not have a lot of responsibility. Real estate is on my mind, you know, with the way the market is right now. And something that's always on my mind is just the people that I get an opportunity to shepherd.
I'm curious then, when you talk with whether it's other real estate agents or even other pastors, lead pastors in particular, those are two professions which are, one, they're heavily people focused, and two, require a lot of hands-on attention, especially when you're growing your own, you know, business. You can't pass things off to a lot of people when you're building a church, when you're growing an organization, whether it is a church or it's a nonprofit or something like that. It requires a lot of the founder's attention. But I hear you talking about vacation, which is something that most people in your position or in just one of those, they wouldn't really be thinking about. They would think it would be nice if we could, but if I step away, this whole thing crumbles. I'm curious, do you hear that sort of narrative with your fellow real estate agents and pastors?
Oh, most definitely. As a leader, sometimes it's our fault because we build everything around our sales. And I know that from being a former pastor in Kilgore, it just, everything was essentially on me. And the beautiful thing about One Nation Church is I have a ton of help, but you know, it's, that church is not built on me. I know I'm the lead pastor, but one day I'm going to be dead and gone. And that church is still going to go on. It's still going to thrive because it's not centered around one personality. That's dangerous, especially for a church, but it's certainly dangerous for any organization if it's built on just one personality. I'm not, you know, pushing my responsibility off as the lead pastor, but I also know that there is one true shepherd of the church, and that's Jesus Christ. So we built it like that to where there's other responsible people there, and it's working.
I want to go back to something you just said when you talked about you've intentionally built the church, which is growing and thriving, not to be based on your personality. Now, I think there probably have been some pastors who have built their church that way. We are not going to name names. But there's also some that it unintentionally, it became that.
Most definitely.
I think there's a lot of well-meaning pastors who started a church because God called them out to it. And you and I both know from just the business, the organizational development side that, you know, people may join organizations, but they stay for the people and they also leave because of the people, right? So how did you go about thinking through as you were planting the church? I remember, you know, sitting down with you, you had your prospectus, you were getting ready to really like launch out and make a go of it. And it was exciting. But in those initial phases, what were some of maybe the wisdom you got from other pastors? Because I know you went and met with some established churches and pastors to maybe avoid some of these potholes. Yeah. What were some of the things that you took into consideration from the beginning so you didn't have to experience that pain of, well, if it's going to be, it's up to me sort of syndrome that so many of your peers might be going through?
Yeah. So it originally just started from my experience as a lead pastor in Kilgore. I was tired. I was tired of the way it was set up. And that's not blaming the people. It's not blaming anybody, but it's just how traditionally it was set up. And a lot of it rested on my shoulders. All of it rested on my shoulders. And eventually after 5 years, I just got tired. So that experience led into planting One Nation Church. I knew that I didn't want to plant it and build it the way that it was when I was in Kilgore. And then my good friend, Jason Smith, who at the time was one of the mission pastors at Green Acres. And we started meeting every Friday, starting in 2021 around the springtime, all the way up until we launched in 2022 in March. So we met every Friday and he gave me some real good advice, just wisdom about the dangers of church planting, but the positives of church planting. And a lot of the conversation was just surrounding, you know, who else is going to be helping. And one of the things I would tell potential people that were considering joining our church is this thing is not mapped out. I'm not inviting people into a fully baked idea. And I want you to come behind me and we push this thing forward. I was literally inviting people into the unknown, literally the unknown, because God had not revealed all of the plan. And, you know, if you focus just on the church, you're going to miss the call that he had for my family initially for a deeper, you know, faith in him. But anybody who joined, especially during that time of planting, they were exercising faith in God because he hadn't fully revealed to us what exactly the church was going to be. We saw nuggets and pieces of it, but it was never fully revealed. Mm-hmm. And that time, even though it was stressful, it was hard, but it was a great time.
Yeah. Which everything looks much better in hindsight, right?
Yes.
I look back on my first company and like, oh yeah, I felt like I was doing the same thing. I was hiring employees into somewhat of the unknown. Like,
yeah,
I don't have this all figured out. I have a vague sense of direction, but which I think is interesting when you do that is other people get to help shape it. Do you feel that doing that, God not revealing maybe the full picture, and still needing to invite people in to participate in the church without having all the details, that part of it was allowing other people to come in and bring what the gifts and callings and things that God placed in them to help shape it, that even shaping the whole church wasn't a uniquely Kilton, like it was just Kilton, just him. He went up on the mountain and came back down. He has the idea of One Nation Church, but there was an exercise in allowing other people to contribute to the larger picture and story and idea of One Nation Church. Do you feel like that happened with you, and do you feel like you set out to do that, or do you think that was just a function of not having the pitcher, like you said?
I think it's a combination of both. I knew going into it that the people that were going to be invited into it, whether I knew them or God was going to provide them in the future, I knew that they were going to be intricate pieces to shaping it. But I'm going to tell you this, it required a lot of faith, obedience, and humility on my part, because the first members of One Nation Church was myself, my wife, and my two kids. I remember sitting down in the, in the family room, and we were telling my two kids that we were going to not be going back to the church in Kilgore. And it's a scary thought, because you, as you're bringing people in, you're having to still trust God. And we went to a church planting cohort, and me and my wife did. And I remember one of the things that I took away from that conference was, you don't need passengers, you don't need pirates or stowaways. You need crew members. And I remember with that mindset of, we need crew members that are going to come in, that are going to help. But I have to remain as the lead pastor while also allowing other people to, you know, utilize their gifts. And that, I'm going to tell you, that was a shift and a transition for me, because church is not it's not like a traditional business. It's different. It's different. And I had to make sure that I allowed other people to lead while also making sure that we maintained the vision that God had showed me initially. You know, he showed that vision to me initially, and my job was to portray it to people while also letting other people join it, even though it was me who he gave it to first. So that there was a certain balance that had to happen.
Right. Which that can be scary, right? The vision can excite you, whether you're planting a church or starting a business or even starting a new project inside of a business. You're sort of an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Or starting a new ministry, is you get all excited about it, and then people get involved and it gets messy.
Right.
And striking that, what I hear you saying is trying to strike that balance between staying true to what you felt called to do while not having a chokehold on it, right? Of saying, No, like, you can't do any, just do what I say. You don't actually get to, don't be a crew member. Like, basically, how can you allow people to become crew members instead of just telling them, just be quiet passengers, right? And bask in the brilliance of the vision that God gave me, right? Or the excellent, amazing business that's going to transform the world. Just kind of watch me do it, but I might need your help periodically.
Right.
Being that, one, you felt like you had a strong vision, what was helpful to you in allowing other people who maybe they caught a glimpse of it and maybe they saw their role in the story and they want to contribute, but maybe it wasn't exactly the way that you thought they would contribute? What helped you stay humble and open to how things were going to get done while adhering to the what you felt needed to be accomplished?
Yeah. So that's pretty simple. I believed in what God said. Like, it was his name on the line, not mine. You know, I know a lot of people, and I knew I was going to have to answer the question, why are you leaving Kilgore? I knew I was going to have to answer this other question. You know, why are you planting a church? And I was having a conversation with my boss from the Eternal Alliance, Ann Ferguson, on the way to talk to the deacons at the church in Kilgore to tell them I was leaving. And I remember she said, how do you feel? And my words were, I'm actually okay, because it's not my name that's on the line. Everybody that asked me what's going on, I'm going to tell them God said to do this. And it's his name. It's his reputation. And he's not going to allow his reputation, his name to fail. And so I've trusted in what God has showed me. That's what allowed me to navigate through these tough times, you know, leaving Mentoring Alliance prematurely. I wanted to stay, you know, until we launched, but it just didn't work out. And that helped me get through those tough times working at a car wash. You know, it helped me get through those times because I knew that I didn't just come up with this on my own. Like, this was God's heart, you know, being revealed. And I believed. Mm-hmm.
I love that because it sounds like it really helped you mentally and emotionally take yourself out of the spotlight.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you could hold the title of lead or founding pastor, but like you said, it wasn't on Kilton to make it happen. You were a participant. Certainly you, you're laying out all the things you did. You work hard, you've got energy, you've got passion, you know, just like in your bio, like when your family's dependent on you for the essential things of life. Right. And I think there are a lot of people, men and women listening.
Yeah.
That feel that burden to be there. And, you know, I don't know exactly how to address those people who don't have a faith in Jesus other than to say, like, it's, I don't know how you're making it through life without it.
Right.
Especially the difficult sections. But if you do have faith in Christ, realizing, and I'm saying this out loud processing as someone who's in the midst of what you were talking about, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, because our conversation at Field Day just struck me as, oh, okay, so here's somebody who's a few steps ahead of, it does feel, it's easy to feel it is all on you.
Yeah.
Even if you're like, well, this is a good thing. I'm not doing a bad thing. I'm doing a good thing. Like, every good thing should happen if I'm doing a good thing, but it doesn't mean it won't be hard.
Right.
And taking yourself out of the spotlight has allowed you to connect deeply with others who could contribute to the vision, but keeps you in a place to where you're not that worn out, tired, that picture of, like you said, you were feeling at your previous church, or so many other entrepreneurs, leaders, founders feel that burnout. It really sounds like this has created a layer of protection for you from that, so that you can continue to perform at a high level and do the good work you're meaning to do. Because if you're in a church, if you're in a nonprofit, I mean, if you boil it all down, your job is to radically and positively impact people for the better.
That's it, man. And you talked about,
and that this drains early. You can't pour from an empty cup.
Yeah. You talked about this earlier. The two jobs I have, you know, God is a God of humor, because between real estate and pastoring, it is the contact with people. I mean, it's high. I didn't realize how much real estate is similar to pastoring, because I'm having to shepherd deals. Like, it blows my mind how similar they are. And it requires a lot. And, you know, I'm one of my favorite passages, to whom much is given, much is required. And God has given me a lot. And there comes a lot of responsibility with what he's given me. And I'm okay with that, because, you know, if I don't do it, he can find somebody else. Like, I'm replaceable. He's not. So when I live to my last breath, I want people to be able to say, man, he ran hard for the Lord, and his reward now is being with him completely full time. So.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which, and I know, being that you said you have two kids, and obviously one of them's moving up, same grade as my younger two, and you got a younger one. How much does what you're doing now, how much do you think about what are my kids seeing in me? Because obviously, I mean, you and your wife, I mean, great marriage, ups and downs, you know, you're in the thick of it,
right?
It's like a buddy movie, right? You're back to back, you're fighting the world, doing things like that together, which is definitely great.
Yeah.
How much does what you're doing, even if it doesn't directly involve them, do you think about what are my kids seeing me do? You know, because more is, one of my pastors says frequently, more is caught than taught.
Right.
So do you think about what your kids are catching from you in this over the last couple of years, this season, where it's been a series of big, bold moves?
Yeah, I definitely think about that, because, you know, I don't say it like more is caught up, whatever you just mentioned, but I do know they watch, and, you know, what we do is just as valuable as our words. And I think what they've seen over the last few years is how they are a priority, even in the midst of all the changes. My son, I go to all my son's practices. I go to all his games. My daughter, she just got done with soccer. I go to all her soccer games. And I don't miss those things. As busy as I am with church and real estate, I am a very active parent. And so they see that. They are growing up totally different than I did. And they see the commitment that I have to my family through all of these transitions. They see someone who is, you know, don't give up when things are tough, and they'll understand that a little bit more as they get older. But right now they see consistency, and that is key when it comes to, you know, being successful in life. Even as a believer, we have to be consistent. So.
Absolutely.
Me and you are always at the field day.
Because I think through that a lot.
Yeah.
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 Crawling through culvert pipes, appearance of PE.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
But yeah. I mean, you are. I can testify. I'll be a witness. Kilton is at absolutely everything, because I'm the same way. I try to show up at every event, even if my kids forget to tell me until the day before.
Yeah.
They are not great at the information passing, but every time I show up, I usually look up and I was like, oh, there's Kilton over there. So that I have seen that in you, and I have always admired that, even because sometimes that can be easier when you're somebody else's employee. And I'm not saying that in a derogatory way, but sometimes like, oh yeah, I have some PTO, I have some time, or I work in a very family friendly business that encourages that sort of thing. So they're the ones who are creating the air cover for you to do it.
Yeah.
It hits different as I don't know if the kids are saying that, I'm saying it, but it hits different when you're at the top of the ladder or the pyramid or whatever structure you prefer. And you realize that no one else is covering for you in those moments, so to speak, because there are some things that only you can do.
Right.
But I think what I hear you saying is, when you think about that, yes, the selling the house, no one else can go and be Kilton McCracken, the real estate agent, like can represent your client at a deal. No one else can really do that. But also no one else could be dad.
Right.
Right. No one else can show up in that role at those, in those moments. Like if you truly start thinking about what are the things that only I can do, there are only a few things, but there's, I think, even more rare things when we start thinking about the position we hold within our family and as parents, the way that we show up in leadership to lead our spouse, and that it goes bidirectionally. Don't send me emails, but you know, my wife and I feel like we show up and have to lead each other and take turns on that. Yeah. Given the situation, we take turns like leading the kids and how we show up.
Yeah.
So I love that you say that you hold space for that, even if you feel like somebody at the church may have really needed some pastoral counseling one evening, but you've got a game to get to.
Yeah. And it's hard to balance
a house, a deal that could really financially benefit your family.
Yeah.
You're like, well, that helps all of us, but if I'm not there, like, what does that communicate?
Right.
And it sounds like you found a way to weigh those situations in your mind, because neither are bad.
Right.
Pastoring somebody and giving counsel isn't a negative thing. Helping close a deal for your client to get them into maybe their first home and bringing some money home to put food on the table for your kids or afford those activities that they're going into. That's not bad. And neither is showing up. Is there something in you or something you feel God has shown you that helps you divide between good options? Because when I talk to leaders, that's the more difficult situation they find themselves in. My joke is, you know, nothing I do is cocaine. And it's like, well, do I stop going to church? Do I stop making money and providing for my family? Or do I stop showing up and being dad? Or do I stop doing cocaine?
Right.
Well, it's pretty easy given those choices, but I don't have that. How have you arrived at such a place to make those decisions confidently?
Well, my wife helps me with that because she is going to definitely remind me, you know, if I'm real busy over the course of, you know, days or weeks, she's going to remind me. And those are great reminders. And, you know, I haven't arrived there yet. It is still a process, and I'm working on that. And, you know, the good thing is I do have a cutoff. Like I know when it's time for me to take a step back or to get a break. And, you know, especially with the, you know, kids' activities and things like that. Like this summer, my son has played basketball every weekend, every Saturday. He's played around East Texas. And then last week we were up in Dallas, and I'm not showing houses on Saturdays. Like I'm not doing open houses. I'm not showing houses. I may take a phone call or something, but I'm not. That day is blocked off for me. And my clients know that because my son is only going to be this age one time. And my daughter's only going to be this age one time. And I have a marriage. And so, and we're spending those days together. And so I know when to cut it off. And my wife really helps me with that.
Mm-hmm. That with the scripture, he who finds a wife finds good a good thing. Let's upgrade to that. Great thing. I'm not trying to rewrite scripture. Lord, don't strike me down. But I love that because making those boundaries sounds like it's also kept you healthy, right? Like not less busy or less productive, but it's kept you healthier in that. You know, there's a book by Todd Henry called The Accidental Creative. Yeah. And it's not just for people who like to do art and whatnot, but he had three, probably make a Venn diagram, because who doesn't love a good Venn diagram? But three things he said, you got to be prolific, brilliant, and healthy is, you know, you got to do a lot of work at a high level over a sustained period of time. And what I hear you saying is you're making sure that you're staying healthy. And how you're drawing boundaries and how you're designing teams to help you, you know, in particular at the church. And that has allowed you not only to, you know, you're doing quite well with real estate. One Nation Church has been taken off pretty much since the beginning. And then that's been fun to watch all the photos on Facebook and Instagram and stuff. So for the leaders who are wired, like they're that high drive. And I also want to be clear to everybody, like Gilton's not low gearing any of this stuff.
No.
He seems chill and relaxed. And you see the beautiful lighting in the background that just seems like, oh, warm beams of sunlight.
Yeah.
He's not sitting up in a hammock somewhere, just letting things come to him. Even when you hear him talk about God leading him into stuff, I've seen him work, and you work your butt off, man.
I'm a gas pedal.
But to stay in a, what's that?
I'm a gas pedal. My wife is the brake pedal. Matter of fact, my wife is the emergency brake and the brake pedal. I'm the gas pedal. Like, when I do something, I'm going to give 110%. You know, we need to talk about, I'm on some boards.
Because why else do it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you are. I say all that to tee up the fact that if someone is listening and thinking, oh, well, he's just not, he doesn't run in this high gear. Like, no, man, he's as high a gear as anybody I talk to. But and you've said it a couple times, you didn't get this way overnight. You didn't find like the boundaries and the brake pedals or appreciate that. Cause I imagine much like my wife and I, we have a similar dynamic. She's more brake pedal than I am. Like all gas and I'm hitting the NOS button. Like I'm Fast and the Furious. I'm not always appreciated the brake pedal and how good and how helpful that can be. And there's, you know, different brake pedals in my life. What would you say to that high drive leader, that person that maybe they do feel God's called them out into something, or they have a big vision and they're chasing after it with everything that they have, but it feels like it's just taking the life out of them, right? Yeah. And they feel like it wasn't supposed to be this way. How can I stay in a healthy place? And what's something maybe in the next 24 hours with little to no money that they can do to start to implement those healthy boundaries and breaks?
I would initially say if God called that person to it, they're not the ones maintaining or sustaining it anyway. I think we forget about our role eternally. I think we completely forget that we're a small part of God's story. And I don't want to be the person that walks around with this heavy burden knowing or believing that if I don't do it, it's going to fail. And that's what Jesus, he took care of that on the cross. So whatever God calls us to, he is the master behind it. He is the one that is maintaining it. He's the one that's sustaining it. He's going to give you the people. And we live in a society where we are geared toward, we believe that success is only by numbers. And we put all of our emphasis on that. And when it's not growing based on our standards, we go faster and we go harder. And that's not how God is. That's not what his ultimate plan is. And so even with One Nation Church, we're at about 55 people, and we're not going to have no massive, you know, influx of people where next year we're at 600. I don't think that's going to happen, but we don't grade our success off of just the numerical growth, even though that's a part of it. I think God wants us to rest in him. And we can still go fast. We can still be the people that he's wired us to be, but we have to trust that he called us to it. And if you just take the next 24 hours and think about that he called me to this, and trust in him, trust in his whole plan. Christ didn't call us into it, throw us a backpack and say, all right, you finished the job. He finished it. It's done. And so that to me, that is freedom. And now when I run hard and I run fast, I'm doing it as unto the Lord, Colossians 3. I'm not doing it to make something happen. I'm doing it because I know he is the one that has it all in his hands. So my running hard is different from a lot of people. My running hard is I'm running hard. I'm running fast because I'm doing it as unto him and not to seek somebody's approval or to grow something numerically. You're going to make me preach on it.
We may have ventured into episode 2. Go ahead. All right. I almost said amen about 3 or 4 times. There's actually a book. I want to grab it real quick. That you made me think of. A new friend of mine that I just connected with wrote this and sent it to me. And it is from a faith perspective called It is Not Your Business to Succeed, and talks about taking your eyes off of the numbers, like you're saying, the you know, numerical success, the outcomes, being so outcome focused.
Yeah.
Is, well, did I put in, was I obedient? Did I put in the effort I was supposed to and was able to? And then I trust God with the outcomes. But yeah, man, we may have a whole second episode just on that. We'll have you back. Tilton, this has been fantastic. I always enjoy talking with you. If someone wanted to know more about you, One Nation Church, or if they're local and they're like, hey, I want to buy several million-dollar homes, where would you send them? How can they connect with you?
So the easiest way is my cell phone. There are other platforms, but the easiest way is my cell phone, 903-948-7182. I told you at the beginning of this podcast, I am a verbal processor. I love sitting down with people and talking to people. And also our website for the church, onenationchurchtyler.org. That's our website, onenationchurchtyler.org. We also have social media. I'm on social media, Kilton McCracken, O. McCracken Senior. Our church is on Facebook and Instagram as well. So it's pretty easy to connect with us. But I love sharing God's story of his faithfulness and how he has done exactly what he said he was going to do. And I love telling that story to make sure people don't try to pat me on the back, but they really focus on what God has done through this process.
I appreciate you sharing. It's always an encouragement to me to hear you talk about what God's done in and through you and your family. We'll link up all of those places on social media and websites and whatnot. And then if we mention any books or resources, you can find those in the show notes. Kilton, thank you so much for being a guest. I hope that you will be a guest again in the future. Well, for our listeners, thank you so much for spending your time with us. This was a great. I hope you got a lot out of this. But if you got value from the conversation, maybe just a gold nugget or two or any of the other episodes, I would greatly appreciate a like, a subscribe, a rate, a review. And it's also a free way to help your fellow leaders. We're all just trying to take our next steps in leadership and be better leaders for the people that are looking to us for direction. So if you got value, please share it, pay it forward. Until next time, change the way you think, change the way you lead. We'll see you.